Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
9:45, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. All of our regular features today, and every Sunday morning we keep a close eye on everything that's going on in the news. And one of the top stories in the world today is President Trump's visit to the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, yesterday and today. We'll speak to a group of Saudi leaders. Some of the remarks that the president will make have been released. And among some of the things that he talks about is saying that we are not here to lecture. We're not here to tell other people how to live, what to do, who to be, how to worship. Instead, we're here to offer partnership based on shared interests and values to pursue a better future. Interestingly, the words radical Islamic terrorism do not appear in the president's comments today, a phrase that he's used often. Used during the campaign. Joining us on the phone line to comment about the president's visit there and what impact it may have is Professor Orit Bashkin, who is at the University of Chicago. Professor, very nice to have you on with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what can you tell us? What are some of your overall initial impressions of the president's visit so far?
Well, I think that the president is trying to establish his connections with the Gulf and kind of establish, although it's not mentioned publicly, an anti-Iranian, or not an anti-Iranian, but a front of the Gulf state and state that are very concerned about Iran. And it seems to be sort of a successful visit in terms of solidifying the relationship between the Gulf states and the United States. How this is going to be received in other parts of the Middle East remains a question, but definitely yesterday with the photos coming from his successful meeting with, or at least very friendly meeting with Abdel Fattah al-Sisi of Egypt and other leaders, he seems to be stressing the economic and political significance of that alliance. Of course, he has another visit to Israel right now. The Saudis will probably press for some kind of semblance of process in the or progress in the Middle East peace process. So the next visit, actually the connection between Riyadh and Jerusalem, that will be a crucial moment, I think.
What do you make of the way that President Trump was received versus the way former President Obama was received, who President Trump being received by the top leadership in Saudi Arabia, President Obama not being received in the same way? Were there strained relationships between the two countries? Why do you think that took place the way that it did?
So there, I think the sort of enthusiastic responses in the Gulf and the enthusiastic responses in Israel are slightly similar and slightly different. So I think in the Gulf, especially with some leaders, there's a perception that Trump is a businessman, that he will not sort of worry too much about human rights violations, that it's going to be about, you know, making business, buying weapons, and again, threatening the sort of alliances against Iran. So I think in that respect, President Obama was criticized for his openness to Iran, and this is not going to happen with this president. And so in that sense, yes, he's already when he was elected, despite very problematic statements, to say the least, that he said about Muslims during the campaign, and despite the fact that Hillary Clinton was criticized for having connections with Arab leaders, the perception was that he will, quote unquote, cut the deal or help promote economic interests. He I think he also had business in the Gulf beforehand. So I think
he has a hotel in Saudi Arabia, doesn't he?
I believe so, but yeah. I haven't checked sort of.
Yeah, he does. I know that he does. Yeah.
But so I think that on that end, this is where the enthusiasm comes from, and it's worthwhile. Remember, I've just listened to parts of this speech. So while President Obama was criticized for not using the terms radical terrorism or radical Islam, Muslim terrorism, and so forth, the speech right now, although evoking God and prayer much more than other presidents have done, I think, is still celebrating Islamic civilization, Islamic contribution to science. So in a way, he's repeating to some of the themes that appeared in President Obama's Cairo speech. But again, I think that the enthusiastic response is he is a guy, he might or can deliver. I think that in Israel, this country has a very rocky relationship with the American administration. Benjamin Netanyahu allied himself very clearly with the Republican camp at the last election. So the understanding was that Trump will be a different president, that President Trump will be much friendlier to Israel, that he will not pressure as the former administration did with respect to settlements, with respect to getting some kind of a settlement with the Palestinians. I looked at the Israeli press this morning, so the right wing is more enthusiastic about his visit. The central and left, especially Haaretz, mentioned that actually people don't know. They don't know if there's going to be pressure to evacuate settlements, or at least to evacuate is too strong a word, to stop building settlements. So while there is enthusiasm, while there is the sentiment that, yes, this is very different from the Obama administration, there are still some concerns that maybe there will be pressure. Maybe he will have to show his new allies or his new alliances in the Middle East, his Saudi partners and others, that, you know, there is some achievement in the peace process, which means to do something, which is, again, something that the Israeli government is not necessarily enthusiastic about at this moment.
Aren't the needs of the two countries, though, diametrically opposed? That if he presumably he'll go to Israel, you know, and say that we support you 100%. And as you're saying, if they don't push on settlements and other rights for Palestinians, doesn't that fly in the face of what Saudi Arabia and other friendly Arab countries want to hear?
Yeah, so I think this is precisely the challenge. I think that both Israel and Saudi Arabia have a shared interest in sort of forming an anti-Iran alliance, and that is where they are, you know, very much in the same kind of side of this mini Cold War that the Middle East has right now. So that is, there the interests are very much shared. With respect to the, I suspect that what will happen in the visit to Israel is that on the surface you will see a lot of hugging and a lot of "you're my best friend" and "you're my best friend," the same kind of thing that we saw in the United States. Although it's a very challenging visit to even to secure, because he's visiting Jerusalem, the old city of Jerusalem, some parts of it are very, very difficult to secure. But at the same time, I think that perhaps under the surface, perhaps in private conversations, perhaps in a meeting with Mahmoud Abbas in the West Bank, there will be other voices. There will be at least some attempt to show some gesture that something is happening. And there, I think Netanyahu will be trapped, because on the one hand, he wants to show that he's enjoying the support of the new president, that that they're friendly to one another. This has been all over the Israeli media. Even Netanyahu's wife spoke about how much she admires the first lady and how much they have in common. So that is officially on the TV screens. But if Netanyahu has to show some progress in terms of negotiation with the Palestinians, which I imagine is what President Trump wants to show his allies in Saudi and Bahrain and other places, that will be a problem for Netanyahu, because he has a right-wing government that will, and especially the more extremist right-wing parties, will challenge every single step. So it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of triangle of the Gulf states, Israel, and the United States operate within within this new constellation.
Do you think President Trump's domestic troubles that he's had, especially in this past week, regarding former FBI Director Comey and Russian allegations and all sorts of things that are happening domestically, does this trip abroad change any of that for him?
So that actually, I from watching how he has been received in Saudi Arabia, I don't think that that's necessarily a challenge there. But I think in Israel, he's coming in a very sensitive moment because of this whole business with telling the Russians about sort of the Israeli involvement in preventing ISIS attacks. And so there was great concern, and it was expressed in the Israeli press that that the information that was passed to the Russians might actually, endanger Israeli operatives on the ground. And of course, the issue is not Russia. The issue is Russia's connections with Iran in Syria, which is another thing that is contradictory about our foreign policy at this moment, that on the one hand, and sort of he's very much aligned with the Gulf countries. At the same time, our sort of new relationship or our chumming relationship with Russia actually put us more with, a side in the Middle East that is friendlier to Iran. So there's this contradiction there. But there was concern in Israel, at least according to the press, about this security breach and about this leak. But again, in terms of the images that both leaders want to project, I think that that will not be discussed, that that will not be mentioned. I think that perhaps President Trump needs to show himself as a global leader, and this visit came to him as a very good opportunity. And I think that Netanyahu himself facing right now a massive hunger strike of Palestinian prisoners, protest in Israel. Netanyahu too it's not direct protest, but it's kind of ongoing criticisms of his regime. So I think both leaders need this kind of photo op. They need to show that their global leadership brings new alliances, brings new business. There was a big sort of U.S.-Israeli maneuver, so military maneuvers very recently. So I think this is the thing that is going to be emphasized. But it's a very challenging visit. And I also I read in one of the articles that someone wrote this morning that, that the Israelis worried that Trump could be unpredictable. So he could be very friendly, but at one point he can change and sort of said, now I've decided something else. So
yeah, his Twitter account has been conspicuously silent for the past couple of days, which can be one of the most volatile things that he has going for him. I appreciate you joining us, Professor. Thank you very much. This is Professor Orit Bashkin, who is a professor of modern Middle Eastern history, University of Chicago. I appreciate you joining us. I hope you can join us again sometime. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.